Hello, and welcome to the Creative Family Podcast. My name is Alicia Moulton, and I am your host for this podcast. Today, I'd like to talk about, I'm doing part two in a series called Home Learning Survival Strategies, How to Love Your Kids, Get Things Done, and Cut Yourself Some Slack. So today, I just wanted to talk a little bit about time management. If you just started homeschooling or have been homeschooling for a while, your life just got a whole lot busier. We may try to do it all, but we'll find that if we have less to do and really carefully prioritize the things that we include in our lives, we'll be healthier, less stressed, and we'll live happier lives if we focus on a few or a single priority, right? So until recently, the word priorities, plural, did not exist. Only the word priority, like singular, existed. And I thought that was interesting when I learned that. I read the book Essentialism, and it talks about that in the book. And I really thought about that idea a lot, and it kind of mulled around in my mind. And I thought about, how I try to have so many priorities, but if I name just one thing that is the most important thing to me, then it helps me kind of focus on that thing and let some other things that are not in line with that priority, it lets those things go. And that said, I do have priorities. I do have more than one thing that are important to me, but I try to like focus on one thing, and more on that in a minute. So I guess, let's see. So I want to either say heck yeah to an opportunity or no thank you, and not be somewhere in between, like not do something just because I feel guilty or obligated to do it. I want to do things that I really want to do, and I want to let go of the things that are not as important. Okay, so we start by naming what is important to our family. So there could be different priorities for different families, and there's just no judgment here. Is your priority as a family in educating your kids at home, is that getting the most rigorous education possible so that your children are ahead of their grade level? Maybe that's important to you. Is it that allowing for the most free time and free play possible? Or free time possible? Okay, is it art or music or creativity? Is it one of those? Is it exploring nature? Do you want to teach history or Americanism or helping others or like a world culture? Do you want to teach and instill a hard work ethic or intellectualism? Or is classic literature important to you? Is a rigorous science and STEM routine important to you? Is it learning online? Do you want your kids to be online and learning so that you can work or do another thing, another priority? Is avoiding screens a priority for your family, or is it somewhere in the middle? Is it like making sure to have a good balance of times on and off the screen? Do you value having a really tidy home? Or are you more like Mary Berry says in The Great British Baking Show? Or do you prefer it a little informal? She would say that when things were really messy in the show. Anyway, I prefer a little informal myself. So let's see. We need to name what matters to our family. And it's okay to take time to think about what those priorities are. Those are just a few questions. And maybe you have more things that are important to you. We need to name what matters to our family, like the lazy genius says, and then be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't matter. So that's a quote by Kendra Adachi from her podcast and book, The Lazy Genius Way. Anyway, for our family, some things that really matter are, well, we have a goal to raise children into productive adults who contribute to society in some way, right? Some people have college as their goal. Some people have like a technical school. Some people want to be entrepreneurs. I don't think we have specific things that we want our kids to do that way, but we just want them to do something and be contributing members of society and like figure out their own path, I guess. And other priorities or things that matter to our family are faith and finding things that spark joy in our lives. We want to develop a really positive family culture where we're okay, like, being together and spending time together. We, like, run a business together, and we homeschool, and we're here kind of in the country by ourselves a lot. Rigorous academics is really important to me. But our main priority out of all of that is creativity. So if you, I mean, my website is The Creative Family, right? So that's clearly a really important thing to us. So we like to make things, solve new problems, build things, just do things that spark joy in us. Whether that's a really cool recipe that we're making and that we can share with other people, or if that's like splattering clay from the pottering wheel all over the porch. That happened once. Okay, so we like creativity and we are okay with creative messes, and that is a huge priority for our family. So we focus our school around that priority, and whatever your priority is, that's what you'll want to focus your school around too. My tendency is to have a million billion ideas, amazing ideas, right, that I don't want to let go of because they're so good for what we could do in our home education, in our homeschool. But I have to limit that, the amount I do in a day, to keep so that I'm sane, mostly, and so that we have time for that creativity. So I like to keep it really simple. And anyway, so I'll tell you some of the things that we include in our day, but just use this as a template because your day is going to look much different because you'll have different priorities, right? So in the morning, kind of connected with breakfast, we like to do scriptures or like a devotional time. And then just as a family, we try to involve my husband in that. And then we like to do some kind of read aloud. Sometimes I like to read aloud. We're currently working on The Summer of the Monkeys, which is the sweetest book, by the way. And we try to do a read aloud until we finish it. Sometimes I read out loud, sometimes the kids do, sometimes it's audible. Like, we count all of it and think it's all okay. So we do that in the morning. That's sort of our gathering sort of activity to start our homeschool day. And then we focus on three areas three areas. So, and these things are my like goal to get done for the day, and they're sort of my measure of success. So I feel like I've had a successful homeschool day if we've done reading, writing, and math. Those three things, I usually do more than that, but if I'm going to measure my success or have a goal or whatever, saying this was a good homeschool day, those are my like bare minimum goal. And I'm going to be satisfied and give myself tons of grace and room to make that an achievable goal and to feel successful and like feel good about myself, because guys, we're really hard on ourselves as homeschool moms and as people in general, right? But we're really hard on ourselves, and we can give ourselves some grace and some slack here. So we do those three things every day: reading, writing, and math. We also like to practice music every day. And then we do one other subject. So our other subjects, like, you could do this any way you wanted with the things that are a priority for you. But on Mondays, for our family, on Mondays, we do art. And like sometimes we do a dad's university where dad gets to teach him like the things that he's interested in and wants to show our kids and me. On Tuesdays, we do a technology class through the program that we're using. And on Wednesdays, we do some kind of science. I'm going to use an online program for that that has like things that you print out and like activities that you do at home. But I just need to have somebody else help me with that one this year. On Thursdays, we have a co-op. So that's the only thing we do for school that day is the co-op and maybe reading and piano. And then on Fridays, we try to do more art. So like I said before, I measure our academic success based on if we do those three essentials, though, if we do math, reading, and writing. And I let anything in that area count as like fulfilling that subject for the day. So in math, they could do pages from their curriculum or from their workbook or from their online program, right? They could do puzzles or games or logic puzzles or Legos or geometry activities or any of that. And I am going to count that as math for the day. And I'm going to say, good job, Mama, you did it. Good job, kids, you got this done, right? And we do have a really rigorous math program that we try to use. And that's like, but the bare minimum is to do something in math every day. For reading, we count if the kids read on their own. We shoot for 30 minutes, but if they read at all, I count it. We could count our family read aloud, if they read to me, if they have like a phonics lesson, or if they read the instructions for a new printer. If they're reading something, I'm going to count it. And for writing, I count things like typing.com, or we do a writing frenzy where we'll set the timer and they can write anything they want with no like grammar or spelling rules for 5 minutes. We can do journal writing. If we just experience good writing, like if we read a book that's really well written and we talk about it, then we're experiencing good writing and I count it. They can write stories, they can write cursive. We've worked on Google sites before where they write about characters in their favorite games. My daughter has been on our podcast sometimes and we write stuff, notes down before that. And we do writing prompts or poetry, or if she explains something verbally to me and she explains it really well, I count that as writing because while it's not like the mechanics of putting a pencil to a paper, it is like learning to craft your voice and like express yourself, right? And we count emails or text messages or letters. And of course, we would never do all of these on the same day, right? We pick one thing and then do it and feel successful that we've done that thing. I think I've done a whole podcast about writing in the past and how I did it too much too soon for my kids. And then they kind of revolted. Well, one daughter, she kind of revolted and was like, Mom, that's too much. So we backed off and tried to make it like a more joyful thing. Like today we did a writing frenzy and we set a timer and we talked about what a frenzy is, like a feeding frenzy for sharks and piranhas and stuff. And then we're like, is it like easy? Is it fast and quick? And we said, is it something that's relaxed or is it something that you just go for? And is it something with a lot of rules or is it just kind of chaotic? And they were like, chaotic and it's fast. And so we talked about that and then we said that the only rule is that they couldn't stop writing for the whole time and they could write anything they want. They could write, this is so dumb, I can't believe my mom's making me do this. Like no rules, you can write anything you want. And they thought that was so funny. And then we did like 3, 2, 1, frenzy. And they started the timer and we wrote for 5 minutes and it was really fun. Anyway, we're going to do that again, I think. So I guess I'm really lenient with myself on what I expect and like, because it's valuable. Like the things that we're doing here that count as reading and writing and math are valuable and they build over time to create a really healthy, like well-rounded, joyful education. So let me just say this. If I were moving or expecting a baby or starting a new job or something like that, I would simplify this even more to fit into that different season of my life. I would, you know, be, if I was having just had a new baby, I would be nursing on my bed while I'm reading aloud to the kids. And we just spend a lot of time like snuggling and having the joy of a new baby in our family. I would simplify my goals and my expectations so that they fit and until they're achievable, right? And that's okay to do because you're going to pick it back up in a little while when you have a chance to do it again. Okay, so some other things about scheduling are that we do school in the morning when their little minds are freshest. And we spend about 2 to 3 hours to do everything. We do school 4 days a week. And on the fifth day, we do like a co-op or a field trip or something fun. So it's like our flex day. Or sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes like we really have to clean out the garage and that's the flex day thing activity for that week. But 4 days enough is plenty to get all the things done that we need to. My kids have tested, I like to sometimes see how they are. They're doing fine academically, and so I know that what I'm doing is working well enough. The third thing about, other things about scheduling is that I give myself a ton of grace and room to make mistakes and to try again, and I try to give that same grace to my kids. And I hope that you'll give yourself that same amount of grace and just like, let it be okay. Let yourself, like, let what you did be enough. And because you got this and your kids, you know, like intuitively the right thing for your kid. And sometimes that is doing that rigorous math page and like forcing it. Sometimes it's letting it go and you'll know the right timing for that. The fourth thing is that I create a really solid plan for our year with the idea that it's okay to like sort of throw it all out the window for the day if something fun comes up or something that's educational comes up that we want to do. So like sometimes somebody will text me and be like, hey, we're going to the aquarium today, you want to go? And I'm like, yes sir, yeah, I do. And we'll count that as our school for the day because they're learning about animals and they're touching little sharks and they're doing all the fun things at the aquarium. Or like if somebody, or we may go on a hike instead, or just anything that's fun and educational that my kids would love, we take the opportunity to do those things. And that's the nice thing. We can travel when other people are in school and we can, well, maybe not right now, but we have like the flexibility to like build that kind of fun educational experience into our lives. The fifth thing is to keep the schedule running smoothly that I create and to get the things done. I pay my kids money to do the things I'm asking them to do cheerfully. So I'll talk more about this later, but we use like a gold star system. And you guys, it's not like I printed a chart or like have gold star stickers at all. Nope, it's not any of that. It's really simple. My kids are generally pretty honest. So I'll just, and I give them like the benefit of the doubt most of the time. But if they do something cheerfully, I'll be like, whoa, you just earned a gold star. And I'll just go, bing. And then they have to keep count of how many gold stars I gave them. I have no clue. And then they have to write down how much money they've earned at the end of the week. So a gold star, 10 gold stars is worth $1. So I try to constantly like give them positive feedback when I see things that are working well, and correction when I see things working not well. So that's a little system for us. I pay them for chores. I pay them for getting ready and to taking care of their hygiene. I pay them for finishing their schoolwork, for practicing the piano, for finishing a book or memorizing a poem or making a really cool art piece. I pay them to like say, this is valuable, and money is one form of energy that we can use to show that something's valuable, right? And my constant like words of good job, I'm really proud of you, that really builds up my kids and makes them want to work harder for me. It's like investing in them, and then they're like nicer most of the time, right? Like this is real life. This is like real humans that have like big problems in their little bodies and in their little brains. And sometimes it's kind of crazy. And sometimes we get frustrated, and it's okay. Like we can name that that's okay. And we can like figure out strategies to deal with it, to be a genius about it. Right. So after we finish our school for the day, I am tired and my kids are tired, and I rest while they do quiet things. Like, they may play Minecraft, they may work on the computer, they may read. I just really need the time to rest and to like sort of refresh. Usually that happens between when we end school and when they have like play dates with their friends or extracurricular activities or things like that. But I really need that gap in there to like feel like a whole person, and to feel like my needs are being met. And it's just emotionally draining. Like you use every strategy you know, in your homeschool day that you have, every tool in your bag of tricks. And it's exhausting and I love it, but I need that time to like sort of recharge. So maybe give yourself permission to recharge like that too. We do limit the extracurriculars. I have two daughters and I like things that they can both do kind of at the same time. We live in a rural community where class age groups are often like classed together, so it works out for me pretty nicely. I really like swim team where it's like a variety of ages, or a piano lesson like that's a group lesson that they can kind of both do together. When I group it together like that, it really helps my sanity. And it helps so that there's less time and less things to do in our week. Let's see. Okay, like I said before, I like to spend time recharging my batteries alone. And I guess the critical thing here is to figure out what things recharge you, like what's important for you to be able to get done for yourself. Is that like a morning devotional for you that you do by yourself without your kids? Is that lunch with some friends? Is that time just absolutely by yourself? Is that taking or teaching a yoga class? Is that going for walks by yourself or with someone that you love? Is that watching garbage TV in your room alone and while your friend or husband supervises? Is that showering every day? Is that getting ready and like putting on your makeup or styling your hair or whatever? Is that something that refills your bucket? That's a big one for me personally. Does writing in your own journal help you? Does working in the garden help you? It's about finding the thing that fits you to like sort of give yourself some self-care so that you have enough to give to your family when they need it. So today we've talked about some strategies to manage your time by naming the things that are most important to your family and then building like the schedule of your day around that. We talked about being sort of selective about the things that we're going to include in our day. We talked about limiting the subjects and our daily goals so that they're 100% achievable. Remember, we talked about focusing on reading, writing, and math, and maybe that's a priority for you, or maybe it's something different. And we talked about, you know, altering our lives so that our goals are still 100% achievable in educating our kids if we're in kind of an extra stressful situation. And we talked about like how we manage scheduling our homeschool and rewarding our kids for doing things that they do well and taking time to refresh. So thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you'll join us next time when we talk more about survival strategies for home learning and how we love our kids, get things done, and cut ourselves some slack. So this is Alicia Moulton, and if you'd like to find me online, I am on Instagram at The Creative Family Home, or my website, which is thecreativefamily.com. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.